Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Satatam kirtayanto ma.
Satatam kirtayanto ma.
Yatantascha dvidha vrata.
Yatantascha dvidha vrata.
Namasyantascha mam bhaktya.
Namasyantascha mam bhaktya.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Satatam kirtayanto ma.
Satatam kirtayanto ma.
Yatantascha dvidha vrata.
Yatantascha dvidha vrata.
Namasyantascha mam bhaktya.
Namasyantascha mam bhaktya.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Satata.
Satata.
Always.
Always.
Kirtayanta.
Kirtayanta.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Mam.
Mam.
About me.
About me.
Yatantaha.
Yatantaha.
Fully endeavoring.
Fully endeavoring.
Cha. Also.
Also.
Dridhavrataha.
Dridhavrataha.
With determination.
With determination.
Namasyantaha.
Namasyantaha.
Offering obeisances.
Offering obeisances.
Cha. And.
And.
Ma. Me.
Me.
Bhaktya.
Bhaktya.
In devotion.
In devotion.
Nitya yukta.
Nitya yukta.
Perpetually engaged.
Perpetually engaged.
Upasate.
Upasate.
Worship.
Worship.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping in ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all those things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. Here Krishna is describing the very happy position of his devotees. He's, in this context, he's contrasting the materialists and the devotees. A few verses back, he was talking about avajananti mam hudha, that those who are foolish and unfortunate, they disrespect Krishna. There are various ways to disrespect Krishna. You can be an outright enemy of the Lord. You can hate Krishna. Or you can just be not interested in Krishna. You can just be a materialist. You can be an enemy of God, which makes you a very serious problem. Or you can simply be too materialistically entangled to be able to give any attention to God. And contrasted with those, mudhas, materialists, non-devotees, are the Mahatmas. Mahatmanas tu mam partha, daivim prakriti mashritaha. These are those fortunate living beings. They may be a minority. There may be less of them than Buddhas. Most of the world may be foolish and materialistic. And therefore the Vaishnavs are not taken seriously. They're in the minority. They may not be very materially successful. They may not be very powerful. Therefore nobody cares about them. But Krishna cares. Krishna says these are the great souls. Not the people with all the money, the people with all the political strength and all the military power. These are the people that I take serious, Krishna says. Daivim prakritim ashritaha. Because the devotees have taken shelter of my spiritual energy. That is their correct use of their free will. They don't have to do that. Nobody has to take shelter of Krishna's internal energy. Love must be voluntary. Krishna will not force anybody in this world to love him. If we want to ignore him, if we want to hate him, he'll let us do that. He'll let us do it forever, life after life. Forget him. He won't interfere. So if we choose to be his devotees, if we choose to take shelter of his divine energy, we're chanting Hare Krishna. So what does that first word mean? Oh, divine energy of the Lord, Mother Hara. This is Krishna's internal energy. We're taking shelter of the internal energy. We're performing devotional service. The spiritual master, we're serving Krishna under the direction of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna's internal energy. The representative of Srimati Radharani. She is Krishna's first servant. All the other servants are serving her. No matter what rasa they are in, no matter what bhava, they may be servants of Lord Ramachandra, they may be servants of any avatar, but Srimati Radharani is the first of all of Krishna's servants, and all the other servants are following her direction. So, to be engaged in Krishna's service means to be taking shelter of his internal energy. And no one has to do that. It is a voluntary choice. Instead of going for material success, I'm going for spiritual success. That is my choice. And Krishna appreciates it very much. That so-and-so, this devotee, he may not be perfect, but look, he is choosing to take shelter of my spiritual energy. He's choosing to put aside the opportunity to conquer the world, become great materially. Instead, he's trying to just be my devotee. Therefore, Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam parta. These are very rare great souls. Mahatma means the best of men. A man who's better than everybody else. One out of a million. But who is the Mahatma? Krishna says, the one who simply takes shelter of my spiritual energy. Bhajantyananya manaso. Is that the right words? Yes, no, yet. Yes, bhajantyananya manaso. What is the effect of taking shelter of Krishna's internal energy? If you take shelter of his external energy, maybe you'll become very powerful. Maybe you'll become rich. What will happen if you take shelter of his internal energy? You'll become addicted to Krishna. You'll become crazy thinking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and chanting about Krishna. That will be your only business. Prabhupada mentioned in today's purport, that's the devotee's only business, is to hear about, chant about, and remember Krishna. So when the materialists look at us, they think we're totally crazy, that we're useless people. Only if we can pretend we're like them. You know, the devotees also do material business, and the materialists have to be impressed. But when it comes to our spiritual life, it means nothing to them. Yeah. I mean, it has no value for them. But these people are just crazy after Krishna. And that is what you'll get if you take shelter of Krishna's internal energy. You become addicted to his devotional service. And everything else will become of less and less interest to you. So decide, is that what you want? This is the adhikara, the qualification for entering Krishna's Shuddha Bhakti. This is a special program. This is the program of Srila Rupa Goswami. It's actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. But he deputized Srila Rupa Goswami to organize the program. Just like I saw in the newspaper today. Some school someplace, Uttar Pradesh, is advertising they want to hire a new principal. So the advertisement says the board of trustees is inviting candidates. And the man should be a visionary. I don't know how you find a visionary just by paying, you know, money to get a visionary. But anyway, this is what they're expecting, that a, you know, man with great vision will come and lead the school and will pay you as much money as you want. So like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the trustee. And he engaged Srila Rupa Goswami as the principal, the man of vision, to implement his program. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has all the desires in his heart. Who will implement them? Someone has to be the visionary to understand. In other words, someone has to understand what is the inner heart of Mahaprabhu. That is the real Acharya. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So Prabhupada means he's the direct representative of the Lord. He's standing right at his feet. He's right in his footsteps. Because Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, because Rupa Goswami understood the inner heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, it's esoteric. Well, there's a story in Madhyalila, chapter 1 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. How does it go? Rupa Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was in the middle of writing his play, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, two plays. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited one prayer about the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. And then he went to take his snan. Rupa Goswami understood what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling, and he wrote a shloka just echoing exactly perfectly that mood, his own composition. And he wrote it on a piece of palm leaf and stuck it on the roof of his own hut. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from his snan and saw that shloka and read it, and he was in great ecstasy. How does this Rupa Goswami, how does he understand my inner heart? So therefore, Rupa Goswami was empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to establish the program of Krishna consciousness for this Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan movement. And we're following in his footsteps, and he gives us this program for Shuddha Bhakti. There are other versions of bhakti. You can practice mixed bhakti. You can go to the other Vaishnava Sampradayas. Here in Bangalore, you can find them all. And they will teach you various kinds of bhakti, but it's mostly Jnana Mishra Bhakti and Karma Mishra Bhakti. You want Shuddha Bhakti, come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami is teaching it. A very rare thing. Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adi Anavritam Anukulina Krishna Anushilanam. Learn how to practice serving Krishna without any other motive. Free from the motivation of wanting to become successful in this world, and free from the motivation of wanting to become liberated. Just to serve Krishna out of pure love. That is Shuddha Bhakti. So how do we become candidates? What is the qualification? Just like the advertisement gave, the candidate for the job. A principal must be a visionary. He must be 50 years old, at least, and have 5 years experience, you know, as a similar job. So also, there's qualification for the job of candidate for Shuddha Bhakti. Rupa Goswami, the establisher of this program, He's explained what the qualification is. It's very simple. As he explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, you have to want to give your life to Krishna. You have to want to make the service of Krishna the whole purpose of your existence. Just want to do that. Make up your mind. That's what your life is for, is to serve Krishna. The complicated details of how to accomplish that, that remains to be worked out. But the initial qualification is you want to do that. That determination, making up your mind. Then Krishna accepts you as a candidate for his pure devotional service. And you can enter into the program of Srila Rupa Goswami practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, practice of Shuddha Bhakti. We may not be pure in our completely pure in our motives. We may still have some tendency to want to have some success in this world. We may have some selfish desire for our own liberation. Maybe we even want to merge into the existence of God. We all have some sort of ulterior motives. But if we can keep those motives under control and keep it in the front of our mind that what we ultimately want in life is to become Krishna's devotees, pure devotees, then we can follow this practice. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the Sankirtan movement, as described in this verse. Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Devotees are always glorifying Krishna. So we take a vow in initiation to chant minimum 16 rounds a day. Bhaktisiddhanta Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted his followers to chant 64. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not eat in a man's house unless he was a Kruarpati. Lakpati, I'm sorry. How many names is 64,000 names? 100,000, I'm sorry. 100,000, not 10 million. Used to be a Lakpati was a rich man. Nowadays you have to be a Kruarpati to be rich. The phrase used to be Lakpati. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unless someone was a Lakpati, unless he chanted 100,000 names a day, 64 rounds, he would not eat in the man's house. Not that he only ate in rich man's house. He didn't mean that sense. But a man, only someone who chanted at least 64 rounds a day. Otherwise, he would not accept prasad from that person. So he was pushing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pushing for 64 rounds a day. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also pushing for that. He demanded from his initiated disciples that they should chant 64 rounds a day. But those who were engaged in active preaching, he allowed them to chant only 16. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, in the very beginning he tried to tell his new disciples, these boys in New York City, who were just the hippies a few weeks ago, to chant 64 rounds a day. And it became obvious very soon that they couldn't do it. They said, I'm sorry, we can't do it. So he then said, try 32. They could not do that. Then he said, okay, I'm giving you the special mercy, just chant 16 rounds a day. But no one in the future has the, Prabhupada said specifically, no one has the authority to ever diminish that number less than 16. And ISKCON, other Gaudiya institutions, they may have some other standard. Somewhere, someone, Acharya, is saying, at least pick up your beads sometime during, don't let the beads get lonely. Chant a few rounds. No, Prabhupada said minimum 16. Okay? If you want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and accept your prasad in your house, 16 rounds. That's the program of Rupa Goswami, Satatam Kirtayanto. So if we're chanting 16 rounds a day, that means several hours. Well, maybe someone can chant his rounds in 2 hours. Maybe someone takes 4 hours. It's a piece of time out of your day. You could have made some more money in that time. Or do something else. You could have slept another 2 hours. Or watch TV for 2 hours. You gave up that time to glorify Krishna. And then the rest of the day, the other 22 hours, you should also be glorifying Krishna. Maybe not with your hand in the bead bag. Maybe you're speaking about something else, but the purpose of everything you do should be to glorify Krishna. According to what's practical, according to what you can do. But what Krishna's asking is that we think about him all the time. And when we open our mouth, whenever possible, we glorify him. But unfortunately, even in the Association of Devotees, we like to talk about less important things. Because it's easier. It's a big strain on the mind to just sit and talk about Krishna. Especially you meet with your friends. It's easier to talk gossip, to talk business, to talk about anything else but Krishna. That's the material tendency. It's the hardest thing to simply put everything else aside and simply remember Krishna and talk about him. If we did that, we'd be perfect. Our lives, all the problems in our lives would just dissolve. But we're stubborn. We can't so easily do that. What to do? Sri Kapila Dev, the avatar in Satya Yuga, he's in his own age, he was the Yug Dharma avatar, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tore up the method of Krishna consciousness for this Kali Yuga. Sri Kapila Dev, in the Satya Yuga, when he appeared, he taught the method of devotional service for that age. Different avatars appear in different Satya Yugas. But in the particular Satya Yuga, he was the avatar who taught the method of devotional service. And he taught it to his mother, Devahuti. He describes this process, same process that Krishna is describing, of how the devotees, when they come to the point that they can constantly remember him, and whenever they open their mouth, Krishna Kirtan comes out of their mouth. How that is the perfection of their life. And how they simply give each other pleasure and enlighten one another by doing that. Kapiladev says, Madashraya katha mishta shrinvanti katayanti cha tapanti vividata pa naitan madgata chetasaha. My devotees, what are they doing? They may be doing so many things, but what Kapiladev, just like Krishna, points out as the most significant thing that devotees are doing, they're hearing and chanting about Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna, things that Krishna does, what Krishna looks like, who Krishna's friends are, and so on. The glories of Krishna. Madashraya Katha. Topics that are directly related to me. Katha Mishta. This word Mishta, it's not Mishta, like sweets. Mishta comes from the verb Mridge, to clean, Marge, Cheto Marginal. So these topics are all pure, completely purified. Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. Name of Krishna, the glories of Krishna are all purifying. They're all pure, so therefore anyone who hears or chants these glories also becomes pure of whatever contamination is in his heart. Shrinvanti katayanti cha. So the devotees simply hear these glories and they speak the glories. Very simple business. And the effect of this is that they become immune to all material suffering. Tapanti vividata pa naitan madgata chetasah. The various kinds of torment of material life don't disturb the devotees. He doesn't say that there is no pain for them. There is pain of the body, also pain of the mind. Pain caused by other people, by your own body, by your own mind, by the forces of nature. The weather is too hot. You've got arthritis. Your wife is nagging you. So many problems. Devotees also suffer these problems. They also have arthritis. Other people give them a hard time sometimes. But they don't, they're not bothered by it. Tapanti vivida tapa naitan. They're not distracted. They're not discouraged from going on with their service by these petty disturbances of material life. Yasmin stitona dukena gurunapi vichalyate. Being situated in Krishna consciousness, even the most terrible torment of material life cannot dissuade you. You cannot give too much attention to it. You're too addicted, too busy in enjoying Krishna consciousness. Just like a man who's absorbed in some material addiction. Just like a man who's fighting for something. He may get wounded in the fight, but he doesn't even notice it. He's too passionately, you know, caught up in the fight. And it doesn't go just, doesn't, not just a description of material battle, of fighting with a sword, but even a moral fight or a business. A man is, you know, engaged in some business struggle. He undergoes so much austerity. The businessman may get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive 100 kilometers to go to work. You know, and he doesn't even have time to eat lunch. You know, and he comes home and goes to sleep because he's too tired to do anything else. This is great austerity. And he's tolerating it because he's passionately absorbed in his goal, in attaining his goals. So even in material life, if you're passionately addicted to achieving something, then you can tolerate all sorts of pain. Like that, the devotees who are crazy after Krishna, who are addicted to hearing and chanting about him, cannot be disturbed, cannot be bothered by material pain. They have no time for it. So Kapila Dev goes on. Okay, so the question is, it's very hard to adjust our minds and adjust our tongues to think about Krishna and talk about him. We're accustomed to talking prajalpa and thinking about all our problems in life, about your arthritis, about your wife, about your business. So many, like a cloud of anxiety is surrounding all of us. You know, the mind is in Kali Yuga is always disturbed. Sumanda matayo, our minds are just not in proper order. This is the nature of Kali Yuga, especially. It's the nature of material life. Cheto darpana marjanam means you have to clean the mirror of the heart because the heart is dusty. The mind is. It's like our mind is in a cloud of dust that's covering our vision. So it's not easy to simply remember Krishna. And because we're not remembering Krishna, when we open our mouths, we don't talk much about Krishna. That's our material conditioning, and that's what we have to fight against. What practically can be done? So Kapila Dev, just two verses after the other one I mentioned, he gives a suggestion. Satam prasango. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido. Bhavanti vitkarna rasayana kata. Tajoshanad ashu apavarga varkmani shradavatir bhaktir anukramishati. Satam prasanga. This is the key. Associate with other devotees. Don't stay in a corner trying to practice nirjana bhajana by yourself. Be with other devotees. But these other devotees are just talking business and just talking gossip. That's okay. Be with the devotees. But the devotees are talking politics. They're complaining about one another. What choice do you have? Be with the devotees. Satam prasangan. By associating with devotees, the result will be that you'll get a chance to hear glorification of Krishna. Bhavanti vidkarna rasayana katha. These Krishna katha. In other words, if you remain in the association of devotees long enough, eventually they'll say something about Krishna. Now they may talk so much prajalpa, but eventually devotees can't help it. But once in a while, say something about Krishna. You're not going to find Krishna katha outside of the association of devotees. So be with devotees, and sooner or later they'll talk about Krishna. That's the perfection of life. Ritkarna rasayana katha. This Krishna katha is a specific medicine. Rasayana means a tonic. like this Grami Rasayanam or Chavana Prash. These are invigorating medicines. But they usually are meant for specific parts of the body. There's Rasayana for the, you know, for the lungs, for the liver. This is for two particular organs. Rit Karna Rasayanam. For the ear and the heart. Rit and Karna, heart and ear. Why? Because this medicine of Krishna Katha is applied, how do you say, orally, A-U-R, through the ear. So the ear benefits first. It's very pleasant and soothing to the ear to hear Krishna Katha. The problem is this brain, you know, is inattentive and disturbed. No problem. This medicine can bypass the brain and go directly to the heart. So the heart is purified just by this Krishna Katha, whether the brain pays attention or not. This is the process. And then by regular application of Krishna Katha, one life becomes perfect. Tajoshanad Ashu, by application, by administration of this medicine, very quickly, Apavargavartmani, one makes quick progress on the path toward perfection. And how do you know that you're making progress? The signposts are there. Shradar Ratir Bhakti Ranukramishati. One after another, you will notice that you're developing faith. Confidence that if I simply serve Krishna, my life will become perfect. Everything I need will be provided. How will I ever be able to serve Krishna? I don't know. But I do know if I can serve Krishna, my life will become perfect. And then you become gradually attracted to Krishna and you develop love for him. That's the whole perfection of life. Now, we don't have any time to discuss it, but we'll stop here. I'll stop speaking here. Maybe someone has a couple of questions or comments.
Yes. This Krishna Katha you told first to the ear and to the heart.
Yeah, it could bypass the brain.
Bypass the brain.
Yes.
The brain requires intelligence because buddhi yoga.
When the heart is purified, then the brain is transformed, then the mind is transformed.
Krishna says, I give you pure intelligence. And that
yes.
Buddhi yoga.
For those who serve him regularly. So first we have to begin serving Krishna. Then our intelligence actually becomes purified. So Krishna doesn't wait for the brain to cooperate, you know, the mind. He attracts us. He has his ways of attracting us, even when the mind is not in proper order. Yeah. We just become, just like prasadam, the association of devotees, the pleasure of chanting Krishna's names. We may not intellectually or mentally understand these, why we're attracted, but we're helplessly attracted. Krishna is a great seducer, you know, and he's attracting us against the dictates of our mind. Our mind is telling us, don't listen to this Krishna. He'll cheat you, he'll take everything away from you. And we're helplessly attracted.
But when it comes to application of Krishna consciousness,
the mind has to be defeated, yeah.
The
won over.
Application of intellectual bad things.
Yes. Real intelligence is a function of the heart. You know, the brain is just a machine. In the Shastric literature, there's not really a distinction between heart and mind. The word chetas means both. Hridayam also means both, the heart and the mind, because the real mind is not in this brain. That's just a, you know, computer, you know, an external device. The real intelligence is in the heart. So therefore there's no fixed distinction between the you know, chetas means both the heart and the mind. You can translate it by both words in English. We're interested in awakening the heart. Whether the brain is, you know, not in good order or not. Some people, you know, because of bad habits in their previous life, their brain is practically gone anyway. Persons who took drugs or alcohol, one glass of beer destroys 10,000 brain cells. And so a man who's drunk a lot of alcohol doesn't have much of a brain left. Even that person can become Krishna's devotee. Yeah, because it doesn't require a brain. It requires a heart. Yeah, that's where the real intelligence is in the heart. It's coming from the soul. Not from it's not measured. Real intelligence is not measured by how many facts you have crammed into your hard drive. It's not a matter of, it's not that we're gonna take an exam for entrance into Goloka when we have to study cram for the exam. And then we can forget everything after we pass the exam. No. What we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam 4, is not to cram facts into our brain so we can take an exam. The whole purpose of studying this Shastra is simply to become attracted to Krishna. That's the test. How much you become attracted to Krishna. That's a matter of spiritual intelligence, and that is located in the heart. Yes. Then we use whatever facilities we have, including whatever intelligence we still have left over after all the things we've done in our life. After all our conditioning, whatever functional intelligence we still have, whatever capacity we have to do anything, we can utilize that all in Krishna's service. But first our heart has to awaken the desire to do anything for Krishna. Then we use whatever facilities, whatever faculties we have, little or great faculties that we have, including intelligence. Some people have a lot, some people have a little. Unfortunately, a man with a lot of intelligence, it's hard to get that mind and intelligence to surrender. A simpler man, it's easier for him to surrender. You want to surrender and your mind is giving you a hard time because you have a big brain, it's harder to surrender to Krishna. When you accomplish it, that's a big accomplishment. When you defeat that intelligence and finally make it submit. But it's a hard job to take a big brain and make it surrender to Krishna. The important thing is that whatever you do have, give it all to Krishna, including your brain, including your intelligence. If you don't have much, whatever you have, use it for Krishna. If you have a lot, try to give it to Krishna. A man who has a little bit of money, he doesn't mind giving to Krishna. He doesn't have anything anyway. But the rich man, to get him to part with his wealth is the hardest thing. He'll give 1 rupee like the poor man, but what about the crores he has in the bank? He'll never give that to Krishna. If he does, that's a big accomplishment. The same thing with intelligence. We're misers with our intelligence, too. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yes. See, Prabhupada, he explains that devotee, when he works in a factory or an office,
yes,
then you think that this is Krishna's factory,
yes,
Krishna's office, and you should not associate with the workers.
He said that don't associate with the workers?
Yeah, in that 18th beginning of the 18th chapter of the Gita.
Okay.
When he's explaining renunciation in the mode of goodness.
Yes.
He said, you work in a factory, you're thinking you're working in Krishna's factory.
Yes.
And you should not associate with the workers, and you give the result of the work.
Yes. Of course, Krishna is talking about, renunciation of the mode of goodness. There's also higher renunciation, transcendental renunciation. If you could make all the, or some of the workers in the factory devotees, even a few, that's even better. Then you associate with them. If you can preach to somebody, then associate. If it's impossible to make someone Krishna conscious, then you just associate with them superficially. That makes sense. But that's renunciation. That's right, renunciation in the mode of goodness. That you do your work and you don't associate more than absolutely necessary with the materialistic people you have to work with. But better than the mode of goodness is a transcendental mode. Someone like Prahlad Maharaj could associate with the biggest demons, the sons of the biggest demons, and make them all into Vaishnavas. So I put Prahlad Maharaj in the factory, see what happens to the factory. Of course, you can't imitate Prahlad Maharaj. If you preach like Prahlad, especially to your father, Hiranyakashipu, you get yourself killed. Yeah. He came close to getting himself killed. Hiranyakashipu tried everything to kill him. So we can't imitate Prahlad, boldly preaching and getting ourselves killed. But the idea is there. That's transcendental renunciation. Higher, better than renunciation of the mode of goodness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't talk about that. He talks about these qualities, renunciation, intelligence, the worker, the activity, in the three modes. Read the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. Krishna talks about transcendental renunciation also. The three modes plus spiritual, pure Krishna conscious renunciation. It's higher than that. That's where you take the materialists and you make them into Vaishnavas. If you can get the power to do that. Without getting yourself fired or killed. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
You explained that many times devotees come and they speak about Kosi or something, Ramakatha. But in last you said that because they don't, because we can't remember Krishna much the time, we can't speak about Krishna much. Can you give more explanation?
Whenever
it comes in devotees, how we can induce devotees and how we can start with Krishna topics and stuff.
It's not that hard. If you can remember to try to do it, it's just our habits. It's easy to talk prajalpa. It's easy just to sit around and talk business, talk gossip, and complain about other devotees. But if you can be the one who introduces the Krishna Katha into the conversation, then you're doing a great favor to everybody involved. It's not impossible. It just requires a little bit of what we call finesse. You know, just change the topic. And speak something. Okay, maybe you can't remember what Krishna was doing with the gopis last night. You know, you have no idea what Krishna is doing with his intimate devotees. But you can remember, these Vaishnavas, these devotees who live here in Bangalore, this devotee has done so much nice service, he has so many nice qualities, this other devotee has these qualities. If you can glorify Krishna's devotees, that's also Krishna Katha. If you can say something good about devotees rather than bad, then that counts as Krishna Katha. So you may not be able to think much about Krishna. You don't have much access to his private pastimes. But you can see Krishna's devotees. If you're in association with Krishna's devotees, you can see them, appreciate them, and then why not speak your appreciation? When you're with devotees, talk about other devotees and something good about them. So that's a practical way you can introduce Krishna Katha. Then you see how that evolves, how Krishna will reveal himself in that kind of company. In the company of devotees who are speaking positively about other devotees, Krishna will reveal himself. And then Krishna will show his pastimes. Okay. So I guess we stop here. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.